Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. John, I'd like to transition now to the future. Can you give us a sense of some of the key issues that will affect the CFO and budget offices government-wide over the next, say, 3 to 4 years?
I would point to two or three. One is continuing to improve and develop centers of excellence for budget and financial management line of business. That's a big initiative that OMB has had to develop common processes, common standards. We talked about intergovernmental. One of the ways to tackle that ultimately is to have common accounting codes, common ways that we all deal with each other. So that's going to be a big one and a multi-year effort, clearly, that's going to happen. Continuing to enhance, number two, budget and performance integration. I talked about sort of gently nudging the program offices to do that and to make sure that we keep raising the bar to the extent the bar is necessary to be raised. I think that's a role that we play. From a budget perspective, we sort of see the entire landscape. And so that's one I think that we need to continue to work to improve on. Improving cost accounting, we've talked about already. Succession planning, we've also chatted about briefly, but I think that's a critical one for all federal managers in the future as we face these retirements upcoming. And then finally, I would say improved internal control. The department received a clean opinion on the first year A123A effort. And for your listeners, that's effectively the government equivalent of Sarbanes-Oxley. Last year was the first year that federal agencies had to implement that, and we received a reasonable assurance that our controls were good and adequate. We have a lot of work to do. Our IG would remind me of that. So there's still work to do, but there's continual improvement. So I view that, again, as a long-term process to improve the controls of the department, not only the controls for financial reporting, but for programmatic reporting as well. So those would be the areas that I think any CFO and budget shop would be working on over the next several years.
John, on a broader basis, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future? And how do you envision your office will evolve over the next 5 years?
I think the fundamental functions of my office will stay the same. You know, every year we're going to need to do a budget. Every year we're going to need to do processing the accounting, producing financial statements, producing a PAR. I think the tweaks will come in those areas where you look at how do you make the public documents more accessible, more readable? How do you make them more easy to assimilate internally? So the physical process of pulling them together. We're hopeful in the next 18 to 24 months to have a new general ledger. The two other components of HUD department, Ginnie Mae and FHA, have already migrated to a commercial available off-the-shelf product. And so we will be sort of making the final stage of that. Both of those implementations were very successful. And my view is when you make those changes, rather, in implementing a new system, that's the time when you're going to make the business improvements because you're in there, you're in the guts of the system, you're looking at all the processes. So that's the right time to do it. Better integrated systems, not only from a accounting side, but again, also from a programmatic side. So how do we eliminate redundant systems, eliminate, example, with our general ledger, we estimate in the first phase of it will eliminate 14 legacy systems as part of that process. So that's making improvements. Hopefully, it's ultimately reducing costs and finally improving our funds control.
Now, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
We are aggressively recruiting as a department, and particularly my organization as well, in the Partnership for Public Service recruitment fairs. We're looking at presidential management fellows. We have a recently implemented internship program within the department. We've always had interns and summer workers, but we want to formalize that process and have people come in and rotate amongst the various program shops. So not just within CFO, but, you know, moving from CFO to housing, to public and Indian housing, to community planning and development. And by doing that, hopefully, get them a better perspective of the programmatic aspects and whether they land back in my shop or someone else's program area, they'll have a broader perspective. It's easy in a large organization to sort of get in and have a tunnel vision and you're only dealing with what you know. But if you can be exposed to a broader piece of the organization, hopefully you'll ultimately find a nice fit within the organization and you'll stay with the organization because obviously the goal is recruitment, it's succession planning, it's all part and parcel of the same thing. So we're looking at, you know, other programs to, you know, tuition reimbursement, loan repayment programs, other incentives that can help us recruit the best and brightest to HUD.
Now, John, you've mentioned a couple times now the pending retirement wave. But specifically, how are you handling this pending retirement wave, and what is your organization doing to ensure it has the right staff mix to meet some of the future challenges that you talked about?
Well, I think we're doing several things. We have a five-year human capital management plan to address skills gaps in particular. We have made sure that the mission-critical functions are adequately staffed and they're performing. The REAP team data, which I mentioned, which is sort of project-based data analysis, helps us with that process as well. We have recently implemented department-wide training where you have to have individual training plans. So part of identifying those skill gaps says, you know, John Cox needs the following skills. How do we go about getting him training to do that? So that's part of this process as well, to get the right skill sets matched up with the right jobs. And then finally, we're looking at attracting new blood into the department via the internship program, and we're also looking to readjusting the skill sets. You talked before about a blend of public and private workforce. One of the things you've got to do, obviously, as I mentioned, was project management. That is a key skill that you've got to have. You've got to be able to manage not only your internal workforce, but the external contractors that you have working for you. So looking at the department and looking at individuals down to the individual level and assessing their skills and needs for that and doing that going forward is a key part of our long-term succession planning and human capital plan.
Now, John, you've had obviously a very recent transition from the private sector to the federal government. So I'm curious, what advice would you give to a person who's out there who may be sort of in a similar situation and considering a career in public service?
I would encourage them to do it. It's obviously something that was important to me personally to serve the president and to serve with the secretary. But it's the fun challenge. You know, is every day fun? No, but no job has every day fun. But I think that it's something that if you have an interest, I would encourage people to do it. But whether you're on the political side of the house like I am or whether you're just in the career public service side, it's a good career. You're helping people, particularly in HUD's case, but in all departments. Fundamentally, you have to realize that what you're doing is a good service for the American people and for the people you serve. In our case, low and moderate income households in communities, states. We have programs for people with AIDS. We have programs for the homeless. So there are a lot of good programs that HUD has that you can be a part of as a federal worker, and you really can make a difference. We've made some significant improvements, for example, in the homeless area by looking at different ways to deliver those services and providing more permanent housing, for example, as opposed to the typical shelter area. And the data has recently come back to show that long-term, the recidivism, which means physically going back on the street, actually has been reduced. So that's just one example of how providing those funds can help touch someone's lives. And so I think if you have that particular interest, I would encourage people to do it. It's challenging. It's frustrating. But ultimately, it's been a net positive for me.
Good, good. So most of the days are at least fun, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John, well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Pete and I would like to thank you for the transition that you've made and the dedication that you've had to serving our country.
Thank you, Al and Pete, both. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. And let me just close by saying I really want to thank the individuals in the CFO organization, my individual organization, for all their hard work and effort. The improvements that you talked about here, getting to green, getting off the GAO high-risk list, wouldn't have happened without their efforts. Similarly, the program individuals as well, they made a big difference in making that happen and improving funds control, improving the plans. If you have additional information or if you need additional information, I should say, on HUD, check out our website, hud.gov. There's a lot of great information, whether you're looking for employment or whether you're looking for a better understanding of our what HUD does and what its mission is. I would encourage your listeners to go and look on that site.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. My co-host has been Pete Boyer, Director of Federal Civilian Programs at IBM. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.